Here's the 3-1 pitch. Gomes swings and rips it down the third baseline off the bag and into left field. Davis will score. Right behind him is Mike McCoy. Yan Gomes trots into second. He's cashed a pair. Blue Jays lead 5-1. Yan Gomes, a big day at the plate for the Blue Jays today. That was his 2-run single in the fourth inning. He would double in a run in a 5-run sixth for the Blue Jays that featured a 2-run bomb by Jose Bautista. Hit so hard, such a no-doubt home run, that the foghorn here at Florida Auto Exchange Stadium went off before the ball got over the wall. That's how much everybody knew it was going to be gone. His third home run of the spring, helping the Blue Jays to a 10-2 win over the Philadelphia Phillies. The Jays improve to 13-4-1 on the spring and snap that two-game losing streak, with both those losses coming yesterday in a pair of split squad games. I'm Mike Wilner. We're going to Jays talk it up. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. The first game of the spring that was on television. So a lot of you people out there getting a good look at these Blue Jays for the first time this spring, and boy, did they ever put on a show for you. Let's start things off with Shane in Mississauga. Shane, welcome to the program.
How you doing today, Mike?
Good, thank you. It's a beautiful day in Florida. It's spring training. What could be better?
Good stuff. Mike, I'm going to play a little rapid fire with you. I got a bunch of quick questions for you. Best pitching prospect you've seen so far in camp?
Best pitching prospect that I've seen so far? I'm going to go with Anthony Gost and say Evan Crawford. I've been very impressed by Evan Crawford. I don't know if he's the best prospect, but I've seen more of him than I've seen of Hutchinson or Jenkins or McGuire. And, you know, the Noah Syndergaard and Aaron Sanchez and Justin Nicolino, I haven't seen those guys at all yet. But Crawford really impressed me. Tough lefty. And I was impressed when he struck out Jose Bautista in the intra-squad game. I was impressed when he went out and he threw well in the few opportunities that he had to throw in the grapefruit season. He did not give up a hit in his four innings and struck out five, only walked one. So he's been really impressive.
How about over under 82 wins for the Jays this year? That's the Vegas line. I like the over myself big time. How about you, Mike?
I like the over too. I don't know if I would say big time. I mean, there are still a lot of questions on this team in spring training. You know, as well as spring training has gone, none of these questions are really answered.
Two more quick ones for you, Mike. Who has the best career in your estimation? Travis Snyder, Eric Thame, or Kobe Rasmus?
You can't ask me a question like that. You require a crystal ball to be able to answer that.
It's
Kobe
guess,
Rasmus.
Mike. Just a guess.
Well, what's the point of taking a guess? So that in 5 years people can tell me I'm an idiot? I mean, Kobe Rasmus has had a couple of very good years in the major leagues already, and
okay,
he's the same age as those other two guys.
Most important question.
Wow, you think you host the show, don't you? This is kind of awesome.
Where's Peyton Manning going? My 49ers?
Jerry Howarth would be ecstatic if Peyton Manning wound up with the 49ers. I have to tell you that. People down here seem to think he's going to Denver. I'd love to see the Bills take a shot. Thank you for the call, Shane. Getting set for the hosting chair here. We are Jays talking it up, and we're going to do it till the bottom of the hour. We will step into the clubhouse as well and hear from some of the main combatants in the game. But right now, we'll stick with the phones. Peter is in St. Catharines.
Mike.
Peter, welcome aboard.
Yes, I hope you had a very good winter this year.
Thank you.
Yes, I had a good winter myself. I attended an outdoor hockey game in Hamilton.
Glad to hear it. I hear that was a good thing. What's up, Peter?
It was a success, and I hope to get to an outdoor baseball game this year.
Well, they have plenty of those.
Okay, very good. I do want to ask you about the new playoff format and what your thoughts are on it of the one game playoff, if you will.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I think it puts a lot more weight on winning the division. Mm-hmm. I don't know how good a thing that is, because I'm an advocate for a balanced schedule, and if the division's going to make that much more of a difference, then you probably should play within your division quite a bit more. But I don't know. I like the idea that the division winners have an advantage. I didn't like the fact that wild card teams basically went in the same way a division winner went in, and immediately with you know, you could set your rotation and you could have a best of five.
You know how many
five
times,
just like the other guys?
Mike, how many times in the format that did this three division format did the wild card team win the World Series? Quite a few times, didn't it?
I don't know if I would go with quite a few. The Giants were
wild
the Marlins, cards.
The Angels.
The Marlins and the Angels. The Red Sox were wild card ones when they won the World Series.
Yep.
The Yankees may have been a wild card once when they won the World Series as well. It's happened a few times. And it can still happen, but it's going to be much, much, much more difficult.
Right.
And it's going to be a lot of fun. I think that that day where both wild card games will go, or wild card play-in games, however you want to call them, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Right. I just hope the one thing that I do hope that is that 162 games is still going to mean something. I really hope that baseball doesn't go the same route as hockey and basketball.
I don't think there's any reason to believe that that's going to happen. I mean, they've made it a very, very daunting task right now. If a fourth or fifth place team is going to make the playoffs, I don't think they're interested in going to eight in each league with a level playing field for all eight. They very definitely want to preserve the integrity of 162 games, and that's still going to be important. We got a long way to go until we see a team that's under 500 winning the World Series, even though I think that might have happened in hockey. Not the World Series, the Stanley Cup. Got to check on that. But at least making it to the Stanley Cup Finals, it's possible that that's happened. And I do consider losses to be losses, not just overtime losses to be ties. Phil is in Barrie. Hello, Phil.
Yep. How's it going today?
It's going well, thank you. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. Beautiful day up here in Barrie. I'm sure it's beautiful everywhere. I just like to say this to Jays fans. You know, they drink the sauce more than Leafs fans sometimes, especially around this time of year, right? The Jays, if you look at all the experts who aren't drinking the local juice, they're basically projected to finish about where they were. They haven't made any huge improvements. They still have a lot of guys that are...
I don't think that's true at all.
Well, they still have a lot of guys that are could-be-should-bes, right? So
yes, they do. Absolutely.
Now, the one thing I just want to point out, and it was interesting, it was a Steve Simmons column about 2 weeks ago. In the last 18 years, if they were using this current playoff format that they're going to adopt with the extra spot, the Jays would have only qualified once in 18 years anyway. So Jay said,
right, and do you think that's a valid point?
Well, I'm just saying
Do you think that if there had been an extra playoff spot available, that the team would have played things exactly the same knowing that there was an extra spot? Or
well,
do you think that maybe if they'd seen that they were three games back in August or the beginning of September, three games back out of the playoff spot, which they would have been about eight times, they might have done something a little bit different down the stretch?
They could have. All I'm just saying is for Jays fans is to wait for the improvement of the team and to not expect this playoff as a handout or a guarantee. All I'm saying is, it's not a guarantee because we've always been third or close, you know. It's funny because we generally play, besides the last year or so, year and a half, we generally play Boston Yankees straight up or beat them head-to-head. So, you know, it's kind of funny that we haven't been able to get in the playoffs even though we matched the two better teams over the years. But all I want to say is that the Jays have to improve, and we have to see it on field fully as a team. Like, they're going the right way, but don't expect an automatic playoff first.
Do you think that that's what people expect, though? Do you really think people expect the Blue Jays to be in the playoffs this year?
Well, if you listen to a lot of the callers on the shows, they've been wanting this extra playoff spot because we're in such a tough division, we don't spend the money. In reality, you know, you got to spend the money, too. This Moneyball stuff has been proven it doesn't work. So
that's not true at all, even remotely. Yeah. I mean,
okay, so Rays were good for 1 year. What have they won since then? Like, you know,
the Tampa Bay Rays have won two division titles and been to the playoffs three times in 4 years.
Oh, last
but they
time
don't
I
play
checked,
Moneyball.
Last time I checked, second place doesn't mean squat. I'm just saying these
don't tell that to the six wild card teams that have won the World Series in the last 15 years.
Yeah, I'm just.
I mean, it's very easy for you to just make these grand pronouncements that aren't even remotely close to true.
Well,
but
I'm
you have to
sure
be aware that you're going to get called on it.
I'm pretty sure you were arguing with me that the Jays would finish way above 500 a third of the way through last year, and I said they're not going anywhere. They're the exact same. They're right around a 500 club. So just remember that when you say that I don't know what I'm talking about, when I completely proved you, Mike Wilner, Mr.
Well,
Baseball,
I'm not,
so wrong last year.
Okay, first of all, let's how
because
I've missed
you think
this.
The Jays
let's,
one,
Phil,
one
let's,
reliever,
hold on a second. Stop talking for a second. Stop talking. Listen. If someone makes a prediction about something in June that doesn't come true, that's not the same as making a pronouncement that isn't true at the time it's not true. Right?
Okay.
Like, you've said four things that are categorically untrue, but speaking about them like they're the gospel, and you compare that to me in June saying that the Blue Jays would finish well above 500, which I am certain I didn't say. But even if I did and I was wrong, that's, you know, trying to talk about something that's going to happen in 3 months and being wrong about it instead of talking about something that's already happened that's not true and saying that it's true. I appreciate the call. Your point is valid in that the Blue Jays should not be favored to be a playoff team this year. You're right. There's still a lot of questions that need to be answered about this team. But the way you're going about making your points, I mean, I'm sorry. Phone lines are open. Let's get some Jays talk going. Let's get some good Jays talk going at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Matt Brown is there waiting to take your calls. And while we get him to cue them up, let's listen in. Yan Gomes is a guy who not many Blue Jays fans had heard of before today. He's not one of the catchers that people tend to talk about when they talk about the pipeline. It's J.P. Arencibia, Travis Darno, A.J. Jimenez, who was a Webster Award winner as the Blue Jays MVP in Dunedin, Carlos Perez even farther down. But Yan Gomes spent last year split between AA and AAA and caught Brett Cecil today and had a huge game. 3-for-3 with a couple of doubles and 3 RBIs. Now here's my conversation with Yan after he came out of the game. Yan Gomes, we talked today about your eye-opening game this spring. You've been opening eyes for a while, but 3-for-3, a lot of balls hit hard, good work behind the plate. That was a heck of an afternoon for you.
Well, thank you. It's a blessing just to get the chance to come out and play here, so it's definitely good to get some good at-bats out there.
And the people back home got to see on TV. This was the first televised game, so you're definitely becoming a fan favorite. I got at least 3 tweets asking me what Yan Gomes' chances are of making the opening day roster. But when you have a game like that, are you just locked in? Is it just that easy to say?
Well, it's some people, but obviously it is that easy. But nah, it definitely comes in with hard work, you know, coming out and working out in the cages about. Just staying focused and getting good pitches to hit and just letting your bat and your talent kind of do the work.
And getting the opportunities with men on base as well to drive in some runs.
Yeah, absolutely. That's always an extra, you know, just to get in that guy at third base or second base and just putting a good swing on it.
You caught Brett Cecil today. You caught Carlos Villanueva. Cecil really seemed to use a lot of the off-speed stuff. It looked to me like there maybe were less than a dozen fastballs, but he was very successful with the other stuff.
Yeah, it's my first time catching those two, and just working with Cecil is fun. You know, he's getting all pitches for strikes, off-speed, fastballs, and anything. And I know he's trying to work on, you know, getting back and getting on that rhythm. That he's a great pitcher, so it's good to see him throwing good games out there.
What's it like for you to be out there against a World Series MVP in Cole Hamels?
Well, it's so much respect to those guys, man. Those guys have done it out there, and it's kind of cool, you know, seeing those guys pitching out there. It's just kind of let it get to you a little bit.
Yeah, but it must be kind of tough not to. Do you have to step back for a second and then just remind yourself, all right, he is who he is, but I got to get a hit anyway?
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, when I first kind of at bats, I was trying to just, you know, cool off. You know I'm facing a great pitcher, guys with great respect in the game, and I was just trying to, you know, let it play and let it, it's just kind of still the same game, and just took a couple good swings at it.
Yeah, certainly worked out well for you with Yan Gomes. You're I guess what we would call a pleasant problem for the Blue Jays. I mean, you played double A last year a lot, most of the year with Travis, but you got time at first, you got time at DH, time at third, but obviously you're a catcher. There's a ton of catching here, and with Travis going up to triple A, we expect you to be in triple A as well. Maybe, I don't know, it's going to be tough to get the at-bats that you might need on the way up. That's what I mean by the pleasant problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's... You can't let that get to you, because I know I've kind of experienced that all my career, and I just got to keep working hard and keep looking forward. You know, whenever I get the chances, I just got to be able to perform.
You seem to have a fan in John Farrell. Has he been talking to you at all this spring?
We talked a little bit, you know, but it's just great to get to know a little bit about those guys, and just having them talk to you about the game, it just makes it a little more comfortable.
Well, you're definitely earning a terrific game today. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
There he is, Yan Gomes, bidding to become the first Major League Baseball player ever from Brazil. Lived there till he was 12 years old, and then moved to Miami. A terrific game for Yan Gomes today, and Brett Cecil spoke very, very highly of him after the game, which was terrific. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Jays Talk. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. And before we get to the next caller, I just want to let you know, taking a look at the Blue Jays travel squad, Brett Laurie is on the travel squad for Wednesday's game in Sarasota against the Baltimore Orioles. So, the players who aren't playing in that game will stay back here and do drills and take batting practice. So if that's all he's down for, then he would stay here and do it and not take the hour and a half bus ride. So Brett Laurie is going to be in Sarasota right now, the way it seems, on Wednesday to play after injuring his left groin Friday afternoon in the Blue Jays win over the Tampa Bay Rays. Also, Dustin McGowan, who had been scheduled to start Tuesday night in Fort Myers against the Minnesota Twins. Is it the Twins? No, it's the Red Sox. They're going to play the Red Sox in Fort Myers Tuesday night. The Blue Jays are going to have mercy on Dustin and not going to make him take the three-hour bus ride. He is instead going to pitch four innings in a minor league game in Dunedin, I believe, on Tuesday afternoon. So we'll be there watching Dustin McGowan and keeping an eye on his progress in that minor league game. Back to the phones now. Mark is in Barrie. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike. Comment and a question for you, if I could.
Sure.
The comment is, last year I was listening to On the Fan. It was towards the end of the year, and they had just sent Schneider down. And I think it was Blair who had the hitting coach on.
And last year, like 2011 last year?
Yeah, 2011, about August or July, whenever, just after they sent Schneider down for the last
year. Oh, right time. After when Lurie came up. So it was the early August, right.
Yeah.
Schneider, by the way.
So they're asking, so Blair asked him, you know, what was wrong with Schneider this time, and he said that, among other things, he said that he couldn't catch up to the fastball, and I thought that was weird hearing that, you know, I thought, talking about hitters, you might say, you know, he has trouble adjusting the breaking ball or looking at the curveball, but if you're a major league hitter and you can't catch up to the fastball from the MLB's best pitchers, I'm trying to think what would change from last year to this year, why they would give Schneider another chance. If you can't catch up to the fastball, isn't that, if you can't catch up to the fastball, like, how are you going to make it in the major leagues?
It's a very good question, and it's not possible. If you can't hit a major league fastball, you cannot play major league baseball. But I think the key is one word, Mark, and I doubt very much anybody said that Travis can't catch up to a fastball. What they probably said was that he's not catching up to the fastball, and that there are problems with his swing that need to be fixed. But, I mean, this guy's been a baseball player his whole life, and he's been a very, very high level, played at a very, very high level his whole life. First-round draft pick when he was 18, he was in the major leagues at 20. He can hit a major league fastball, and very obviously he's been doing it quite well this spring. So I think that whatever the problem was, and maybe it was the wrist because he got shut down with a week left in August with a wrist problem, that they wanted him not hitting for 6 weeks because of it. That might have been something, but there's no question that Travis Schneider can hit. He hasn't yet hit on a consistent basis in the major leagues, but he certainly can. Appreciate the call. Jay Stenhouse, the Blue Jays VP of Communications, just filling us in. AJ Jimenez has been sent to minor league camp. Jimenez finished up the game behind the plate today. No surprise there. As we get closer, the starters play longer, and the minor league season, spring season has started, so you need some bodies down there as well. Kevin is in Mississauga. Kevin, you're on the Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike.
Hello, Kevin.
I got to commend you for your new approach this season of dealing with some questionable callers. I liked the deep breath approach that you took a couple callers back.
Thank you. I don't know if it's a new approach, but I needed to do that, I think.
Well, I certainly don't blame you. I was getting frustrated listening to myself. Hey, real quick, got a question for you about Brett Lowry, and wondering if you can address some of the skeptics out there that talk about, last year obviously had a phenomenal, half season such, for only
quarter of a season.
Quarter, my apologies.
Yeah, 143 games he played.
160-ish at-bats per se.
Yeah.
We've seen guys like Gordon Beckham in the past, come out in first 160 at-bats, hit well over 300, and everybody thinks, he's the next Cal Ripken and such. What do you say to skeptics who think that Brett Lowry might fall into that same category of, rockets, 160 starts or 160 at-bats, and now, still big question marks behind him? What have you seen from him that's going to diffuse that?
I don't know that you can diffuse that. I think that there's a very real possibility. None of us want to believe it, but nobody wanted to believe it about Gordon Beckham. Nobody wanted to believe it about Travis Snyder. Walt Weiss hit .467 in his first September call-up to the major leagues.
Yeah.
And never was a guy who was a major leaguer for a long time, but was never a great hitter.
Yeah.
I believe that Brett Lowry is going to be very, very, very good. I don't know that he's going to be very, very, very good this year. I don't know that at 22 he's going to be able to put up the MVP-type numbers that he did last year. But I don't think he's going to fade away. But it's happened before, and there are far more people who shine brightly in a brief stint and then fall on their faces than ones who shine brightly in a brief stint and hit the ground running and are stars from day one. I can't, he's got all the tools, and he plays with intensity. He has been amazing, and I think he's going to be great. But if you don't, and if you come into the season saying that Brett Lowry is a question mark, well, I can't tell you you're wrong. Brian in Dunedin. Brian.
Hey, Mike. Brian, I'm here with my dad, Ron. It was great seeing you pregame here in Dunedin. So thanks for taking the time with us, as usual.
Always happy. Thank you.
What I wanted to ask you about today was Jonathan Diaz. We saw him yesterday in Orlando in the split squad. Saw him again a little bit today. He looks like he's got a pretty good glove. He's got quite a few hits over the last couple of days. Just wondering what you think about him and where he sits in the deep depth chart there.
He's got a very good glove, and he made a play on Friday in Kissimmee against the Astros Thursday in Kissimmee against the Astros that made everybody just jump right out of their seats at second base. He can play shortstop, he can play third. He is kind of a little John McDonald who will take a walk. He's someone who may be the next utility infielder on the Blue Jays after Omar Vizquel retires following this season. It wouldn't surprise me at all to see Jonathan Diaz pick that up, but he's a guy who really hasn't hit. He's a career .223 hitter, I think, in the minor leagues, maybe .230, but with an on-base percentage of around .360. He's an exciting player, but he's not a guy who projects to be an everyday player in the major leagues, I don't think. But I think he can play in the big leagues in that kind of John McDonald role. And if he does make it, people in Toronto are just going to fall in love with him.
Looking forward to it. Have you got any great suggestions of where to go in Dunedin for dinner after a game?
Nobody's paying me, and I don't think we have any sponsors here for food places down in Florida. So I don't know if it's good to to pick one over another, but there are quite a few. I'd say go down to Clearwater Beach, and you'll find a few nice places. There's Bob's Beachcomber, the Gondolier, Shepherd's, all lovely places. Enjoy your trip down here, Brian.
Great, thanks
for
so
your
much.
Call. Appreciate it. It was nice seeing you and your dad before the game today. It's nice saying, you know, there are a lot of people. It's a very loose atmosphere, and there are a lot of people hanging around for autographs. And it's nice to get a chance to interact with the people that I talk to on the phone or interact with through the blog or through Twitter. It's nice to get a chance to chat face-to-face and say hello. And people tend to be a lot nicer face-to-face, too, for some reason. Randy in Mississauga, welcome to the Springtime Jays Talk.
Hi. I was supposed to get right to the point, so I will. I was just wondering about Edwin Encarnacion possibly hitting fourth this year. It looks like they're penciling Adam Lind to hit out of the fourth spot again. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, and if you think that... I know that you're a big believer in Lind, and you believe he's one of the better hitters on the team, so how did you... see his position lineup going
forward? I believe that they really want him to hit fourth. I think that they want that left-right balance all the way through the lineup. They like his power, and they think that he can hit for better average and get on base more. So I think that Adam Lind is going to get a pretty long leash as far as being the fourth place hitter.
I totally hear you there, but how far do you go with the left-right balance until it starts to work against you? And, you know, you start to lose that production behind Batista because you know they're going to walk him a lot. We saw that last year. And
They walked him a lot last year, but he still led the major leagues in home runs. And he still hit 300. You know, I think this idea that he needs to be protected or all is lost is a little far-fetched. But I do think that if Lind doesn't work, then you don't automatically have to go to a lefty there. I think maybe Brett Laurie could hit there if he gets off to a great start this season, or the same could be said of Edwin Encarnacion. But I do think it's very easy to be down on Adam Lind. There are reasons not to be down on Adam Lind, and that the Blue Jays are going to give him the opportunity to succeed in that cleanup spot in the lineup for a long time. I mean, I certainly don't expect that Adam Lind's going to be hitting 220 in the middle of May. Maybe against lefties, but maybe not. But maybe. But I don't think it's going to be like Aaron Hill and Vernon Wells were 2 years ago when they were hitting 230 and barely hitting 200 put together 3 months into the season before they moved. I don't think we're going to see that out of Adam Lind at all. I appreciate the call. I appreciate all the calls. It's great to get a chance to talk to you this spring, and hopefully we'll be able to do it next weekend as well. We have two more weekends of Blue Jays spring games set for you. Today, the Jays roll over the Philadelphia Phillies 10-2. We will step aside, and when we come back, set you up for the week to come. It is the Blue Jays Radio Network. Welcome back to The Face. Florida Auto Exchange Stadium in Florida, really screaming to be called The Face. And you should see Florida Auto Exchange if you ever make your way down here. It's like a tiny little thing, but it's kind of funny. The Blue Jays beat the Philadelphia Phillies. 10-2 is your final score. Brett Cecil gave up a run on four hits, didn't walk a batter over four innings, despite not pinging the gun at more than 88 miles an hour. We will be back on the web on Thursday afternoon when the Blue Jays host the Philadelphia Phillies. You can find us on BlueJays.com. And then back over the air next weekend, pair of home games, Saturday against the Braves, Sunday against the Red Sox. We're on at 12:30 Eastern time for a 1:05 first pitch. You've been listening to Toronto Blue Jays Spring Training Baseball Action. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Alan Ashby, Tom Young, and the Browns, Dylan and Matt, I'm Mike Wilner. Good afternoon from Florida.